The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Next week's Parashas is Parashas Kisove. The Torah starts with the mitzvah of Bikurim. That when you come to the land which Hashem will give to you for inheritance, and you shall dwell there, and you shall take from the first of your fruits of the earth, which Hashem would give to you from the land which Hashem has given to you. And these are the seven fruits which Eretz Yisrael is known for. The chit is the sora, the wheat, the barley, the gefen, it's the grapes, and the te'ino, the figs, and the rimain, and the pomegranates, and the zais, this olive oil, and the tomorim, the vash, the sweetness of the dates. And you shall besamta batena, you shall put them in a basket, and you shall bring them to Yerushalayim, to the Beis Hamikdash. And you shall go to the Kohen, and bring it to him. And the Kohen shall take the basket and place it before the altar of Hashem. Eventually these fruits become the property of the Kohen. Bonis of your mouth. And then you shall say, and you praise the Almighty. And Rashi brings that you praise the Almighty, she'ein cho kofli teva, to show that you appreciate and you have gratitude for his goodness. And you say, Arami Avirovi, Vayeden Mitzraimo, start speaking of all of the tzoras we had, and look where we are now. Originally, Lavan wanted to destroy our forefather Yaakov, and then after that tzora he went to Egypt. Another tzora by Yogoshom Bimsei Ma'ot, and he lived in a land which was not his, a foreign land, and he was a very small number. And from there came out a great and mighty nation, and another tzora that the Egyptians started to afflict us. And they enslaved us, and we cried out to Hashem, the God of our fathers, and he listened to our voices, and he saw our affliction, and he saw our slavery, and he took us out from Egypt with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, and with made a godly basis of Nefsim, with all types of great wonders and miracles, and he brought us to this place. And he has given us this land, the land which is flowing with milk and honey. And now, to show all of this gratitude, I am bringing to you the first of the fruits, and I am placing it before Hashem Elokecho, and you bow to Hashem, you will bring sacrifices, and then you return to Hashem Elokecho. And then, you go home. When we will rejoice with all that he has given to us, and you go home. What is the purpose of the praise? So Rashi said, "She'ein chokof liteva," that you should not reject his goodness, but to the contrary, you should recognize his goodness and be appreciative and show gratitude. This quality, which is known as achzokas atev or akoras atov, to recognize when someone or something does something good for you and to try to repay it, especially when it's to the Almighty, but also when it's to other people or to anything. This is what we call Haksokas HaTev, Hakores HaTov. This is from the great Sharoshim, from the great foundations of Avedis Hashem, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was because of this reason that mankind in its earliest stages always wanted to serve Hashem and to bring sacrifices and gifts to Hashem and to bless Him, to make brochas to Him, and to praise Him, and to sing to Him in recognition of all that He does for us, besides wanting to serve Him because of Yireh, because of the awe of the Almighty, or because of His Gedula, His greatness. But this also was enshrined in mankind from the earliest times of mankind, to thank and to bless and to sing to the Almighty on all of the teva that He does for us every day, every hour, and every minute. So this is from the great qualities that is enshrined in mankind and is very important when it comes to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu or to show appreciation to anyone or anything that has done some good to you. Actually, we have to give it a little more attention and a little more importance than it usually receives. We usually teach children this: be appreciative. Someone gives something to you, say thank you. It's good manners. It's very true. It's good manners. It's befal derech eretz. It goes into the category of derech eretz. But it's more than that. It's far more than that. The late Rafutna Zecher Tzadik Lebroch, Chai Berlin Rosh Yeshiva, writes that in his association with Gedalim, with the greats of Israel, he always noticed that if there was an individual who lacked this quality, then by them he was conventioned. He was not a person at all. He lacked this quality. Doesn't mean that he was a fine person. He was a frumigi, the religious Jew. Except he lacks one of the many qualities that a person should have. No. But mufrach legamri. In their eyes, a person who lacked this quality of akoras and achzokas atov was, in Yiddish, like we say, can mention it. Not a person. Not a person, and there's nothing to talk to him about. Can't talk to him. There's nothing to deal with. Now, the Torah tells us in Parshas Noach, after the flood, the remaining family, Noach and his family, went and they started to repopulate the earth again. And then the people that were there, they were all of one language. They went from the east and they went to a great valley. This was in Babel, in Babylonia. And they said, this is in Perek Yud Aleph, in Parshas Noach. And one said to the other, let us go and we will make bricks and mortars. And nivna lonu iru migdol bereishe bashomayim, and we will build a great castle, a great tower that will go into the heavens. And the sages tell us what was their intent, and there we will make war against the heavens. Vayeder Hashem lira yiseso ir vesa migdol asher bonu b'nei odom. And Hashem came down to see the city and to see the great tower which the children of man were building. And Rashi brings for the Chazal. What does it mean, b'nei odom, the children of man? Ela b'nei misho hu shema b'nei chamorim u gemalim. Why, they're the children of donkeys or camels. Understandably, the children of man. Now, it has a special meaning. Ela b'nei odom arishon. They're the children of the first man. Shekofe asatova. He didn't have this quality. He did not show appreciation and gratitude. Where do we find this? Because he said, Oisha Hashem Osati Modi, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to him and he asked, why did you eat from the tree? So he said, Oisha Hashem Osati Modi. He said that the woman that you gave to me, she gave it to me. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't like that answer. This is in Bereishis Gimel, Pasuk Yud Beis. Vayemar Odom, Ho'isha Asher Nosati Modi, He Nosna Li Mino Eitz Vayechel. The man said, you can't blame me. Blame the woman, because she is the one who gave it to me. Now, what was wrong with that? It's true. It states just a few psukim before. It says, Vatera Isha Kitova Eitz Lamachel Vichisava Hula Inaim Venechmod Eitz Lahaskil. That woman saw that this tree which Hashem said was forbidden, it was good. It was good to eat. And it was desirable to look at. And it was very beautiful for the mind. Vatikach mipirya vatochel, she took from the fruit and she ate. Vatita in gamle isha imo vayechal, and she also gave it to man to eat. Why did she do that? So Rashi says, because Hashem said that if you eat you'll die. Shaleitomu si v'yichya hu v'yiso acheres. She didn't want, in case that she should die, he will live and marry someone else. So she gave it to him also. So it was the right answer. What didn't Hashem like about that answer? So Rashi and the Chazal explain. He should not have said, Ho'isha asher nosati imodi, he nosno li. The woman which you gave to me, she gave me from the fruit and I ate. He should have only said that the woman gave it to me and I ate. What is asher nosati imodi, that you gave me? What's he bringing in all of a sudden HaKadosh Baruch Hu for? The answer is, he was shifting the blame to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, don't blame me for eating. He said, it's your fault. Because here you gave me this woman, and now she gave me the fruit. So what are you blaming me for? Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to know, what do I have to do with it? I gave you the woman, this is the way Rashi explains in the Gemara. I gave you the woman as an Ezer Kenegdoi. I gave you the woman to help you as a tova, as a great gift. So now you're saying, it's my fault. So we see that man was a kofi teva, that this quality of gratitude he didn't have. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the same thing. He said, Af elu kofi teva limroid b'mi shehishpiyam teva maltum mino amabl. Here I saved you from the flood. And now you want to make war against the heaven. So he called them b'nei odom, the sons of man, who man also was a kofi teva. The Gemara brings in Mesechta Aveda Zora, and Daf Daf Hey, Seif Amud Aleph, and Amud Beis. Meisha told Klal Yisrael, also similarly, he said, Kofu Teva, B'nei Kofu Teva. He also said, you are a people who have no gratitude. And it's inherent in you, because you are sons of a man who had no gratitude. Why? Because in the Sefer Bamidbor, Sefer Bamidbor Perechof Aleph, Pashis was Hanan. Pashas Chukas Chof Aleph Posuk Hey. After they were in the desert and they were eating the mon, Vaidaber Ha'om Belekim, so the nation started to speak against Hashem, Uvemashen, against Vashem. Lome Heli Sunu Mi Mitzrayim Lomus Bamidbor, why did you take us out of Egypt that we should die in the desert? Ki Ein Lechem Vein Mayim, we have nothing to eat. We don't have bread and we don't have water. And we, our lives have become disgusting from the lechem aklokel, from this lightweight bread which we've been eating. And this was the mon. Now here, Moshe said, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave you a miracle where every day your food came from heaven. And in the mon you could taste all of the tastes of every food. And you tell him, why did he take you out of Egypt to this desert? And here we do not have anything to eat. We do not have bread and we do not have water. So therefore, Moshe told Klal Yisrael, Kofi Teva, B'nei Kofi Teva. You are people that lack the quality of gratitude, and the sons of people, the sons of man that had lacked that quality, diksivo isha asher nosati modi, he nosnuli mino eitzva echel, and he linked them to the same source. What do we see from here? We see the importance of this quality, that's A, but B, on the other hand, we see the difficulty of this. Because Adam HaRishon, the first man, immediately at the creation of the world, he was tripped up with this. The fact is, this is the second chait, the second sin that he committed. The first sin was eating of the fruit, and immediately afterwards, he commits this sin of Isha Shenosati Modi, that instead of thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the wonderful gift of a wife, so he says, it's your fault. Right at the beginning of creation, the very second chait. And we also see the same thing with the serpent, because it states the serpent was Orum Mikol HaChayos. The Gemara brings in the first parak in Masechet HaSeita that the serpent was a very, very blessed animal. He had legs, he could stand upright. He was HaKadosh Baruch Hu who made him a melech, made him king of all of the animals. And he had seichel, he was very intelligent. And instead of thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this, what did he do? He went and he tried to use all of this, these gifts, to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he also. So from here we see the great difficulty of fulfilling this mitzvah, this quality. And perhaps we'll explain this a little further as we go on, but perhaps the reason why Adam HaRishon, the first man, failed at this right at the beginning, because right here we are speaking when he fell from the level that he was before eating from the tree, he was holding at a very, very great level. And this was the level of Gan Eden. And this was the level where he would live forever. After eating, he fell from it. And then he was Kofi Bateva. Then he didn't show the appreciation. Right at that point. A further point on this, we see the Mishnah in Masechet Ovis. In Perek Beis, Mishnah Tes. Rabbi Yehem ben Zakkai had five, he had many disciples, but he had five very, very great disciples. And he asked each of them, Siu Ru'u Ezi Derech Teva, Sheyid Bak Bo Ho'odom. He said to each of the five, go out and examine which is the best way, which is the best road, which is the best approach and philosophy that a person should have in this world in order to come to the ultimate in goodness. And everyone gave a different answer. One said Ayin Tov, a good eye, another said a Chomer Tov, a good friend, and so forth. Then he told them, go out and examine what is the worst approach, the most evil ways, the most evil road a person can have, in order to know that he should distance himself from this. So again, everyone gave an answer. Reb Shimon gave this answer. He said, the worst road is Alev Aveina Meshalem, someone who borrows money and does not repay. Echor Alev Min Odom Ki Alev Min Amokom. If he borrows from his fellow man and does not repay, similar to borrowing from Hashem and he does not repay. Shneim Alev Rosh Vele Yishalem, as it states in the Posuk. Alev Rosh Vele Yishalem, the man who borrows and does not pay, that's the Rosho. The Tzadik Chenin V'Nesein. But the tzaddik, the righteous give. Now, Leva Veinam Mishalim is certainly an important point. But here we were asking for an entire life's approach. Tzuru, go out and see what is the best approach, what is the best road for a man to travel to come to the ultimate goodness, and what is the best road that man should travel, what is the worst road that man should not travel, but Yisrachek distance himself from, in order not to come to the ultimate evil. So we're looking for something which is klali, all encompassing. Leiv in a mishalim, you borrow and you do not repay. That's an awful avera. But that would seem to be one detail, one prat in the makeup of life. So what is that doing here? This is a very, very important insight. The Maral brings he says as follows. Ki yese be'akol kashe yifal ra l'misha eis imeteva. Reb Shimon holds that there is nothing worse in the entire Torah for someone that does evil to someone that did good to him. Kashe yifal ki yose me'akol. Worse than everything else in the entire Torah is kasha yifal ra, to do evil, l'misha osi imay teva, for someone that did good to you. V'hu mishalim leiro lahaksik b'memeino v'zeh yesara. Here a person went and he did chesed, he did goodness for you, he lent you his money, and now you refuse to give his money back. This is worse than stealing, because when you steal, you took money that didn't belong to you. It's a terrible avera, but you didn't owe him anything. He didn't do anything good to you. But here you go, come to a person that does a chesed to you, and you repay him with an evil. Mishalim ro tachas tova. And that Reb Shimon holds, no, that's not an avera proti. That's not an individual chet. That's an insight into the entire personality and character of the person. And this is what we refer to at the beginning of the shir from Rav Utner, that he said in his association with great gedolim, he could see always that if there was a person that lacked the quality of appreciation in their eyes, they wanted nothing to do with him. They didn't care what else he did. They didn't want anything to do with him. Eskin mentioned it. He's not a Ben Odom. No. This is what Rav Shimon holds. Yeser Ami Kulam. The worst thing in the entire Torah that a person can do is to repay someone that did good to you with evil. You borrow money and then you never pay him back. You refuse to pay him back. Now, if we go into this a little deeper, why? He explains as follows. Why is it so great, this whole concept of showing appreciation and gratitude? And to the contrary, someone who cannot. We have always two principles, the recipient and the giver. The recipient, Kabbalah, this is a physical trait. Everything in the physical world is always taking. If you look, you'll see it's always taking. This is a physical trait. The concept of the giver, Nesina, giving, that's a spiritual trait. If you examine the physical world, at the lower the level you go, you'll see it has no power to give. The earth cannot give. The earth can react. If you give something into the earth, it will give something back, but that's not giving. It cannot give on its own. And the reason for this is because recipient means it's lacking something. This is why they're taking all of the time. It's lacking. We are always lacking something. We're lacking, we need what to eat. We need what to drink. We need panoso. We need tavers, whatever we need. We're lacking. So we're always taking, we're always taking. Give, that's just the opposite. Give is when you have enough for yourself and you can give for someone else. So the power to give, that's a spiritual power. The power to receive, that's a physical power. And the more one is a recipient, the more physical he is, the more gashmi it is. The more one gives, then the more spiritual one is. Until he can come to a level which is similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the whole concept of receiving is not possible. Because who receives someone who's lacking? By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how is it possible that he should receive? It's like trying to take a glass of water that's totally full and put water in it. How is it possible he should receive? He lacks nothing. So who can give him anything? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's quality is only to give. This is why he's called the Gemel Chesed. Hanosein. Hanosein Chaim, he's always only giving. He placed a koach, a power in man, where he can also rise to the level of giving. That's a spiritual power. Physical level doesn't have it. That's why it states that if a man does not elevate himself from the earth, he won't be able to give. And that's the explanation in the Mishnah Novos that states, Le Am Oretz Kosit, the Maral says. What's Am Oretz? Am Oretz was a person who was so ignorant, he was like part of the earth. What's a Kosit? The Gemara says, Kosit is a saint, but what kind of saint? from the word chesed, mishem is chesed im acherim, someone who is saintly with others. So here you have the chosid who's always giving to others, and you have the amaoretz who is so low that he's like the earth. It's the low amaoretz chosid. The amaoretz cannot become a chosid. How can he come to the level of giving when he's like the earth that's always receiving? The Gemara also tells us, it's a Gemara in Baba Basra that we learned not long ago, chesed le'umim chatos, that the chesed, the giving of the nations of the world, the idolatrous nations of the world, that's chatos, that's always lacking. It's not a true giving. This we see. You have the concept in the world of foreign aid. What's foreign aid? Foreign aid is if it's in national interest. If it's a national interest to give, in other words, we receive something from it, then we'll give. That's what the Gemara says. Chesed, the concept of giving without receiving. Now, that you will not find by an Amoritz, and that you will not find by the nations of the world. They'll give in proportion to what they get back. The concept of giving without receiving, oh, that you'll find by the chosid. Okay. Because he has elevated himself to the point where he can identify with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who gives without taking anything back. All he is giving is that way because he cannot receive. He lacks nothing, so how can he receive? Still he gives and gives. Oh, that's nesina. That's giving. It's a very, very deep concept. Now, the Gemara brings, it says, "Kol ma'aseh b'reishis alovin zeh mizeh." If we look at the whole creation, we see that each one borrows from the other. For example, it states that the night, the day borrows a little from the night, and the night borrows a little from the day. There's not a cutoff point. The day creeps a little into the night. After the sun sets, the day still creeps into the night. And before the sun rises, the night is still there. Or the day is taken from the night. It says one borrows from the other. Why is this? That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world. Where one has to take from the other and receive from the other, because nothing is totally independent, otherwise it would be perfect. And in the physical world we cannot have that. So therefore one is always helping the other fill his lack. Now, this is why the nature of man is so ingrained in him, where he's constantly taking. Because this is his nature, he's from the earth. But on the other hand, when he does take, but he gives back, then that taking is not an earthly taking. That can become a giving. Or when he does take, he cannot give back, but he recognizes that he's taking. And therefore he gives back at least a recognition or an appreciation. That recognition and appreciation, that's giving. When you thank someone, you show appreciation to someone, what are you doing? You are giving of yourself to him. So then he changes the taking into a giving. So we answer both questions here. The reason why it's so important, because if we do not recognize what we receive, then we're purely a taker and we sink to the depths of the world. While if we do recognize what we see, what we receive, then we're turning that into giving. Haksokas tova, we are giving you back, we are thanking you for what you gave us. Or if we can actually give something back, that's a meshalem, a level meshalem, we borrow and we give back. So that's why it's so important, because then we can transform ourselves, not being merely recipients, but being givers, which is like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why it's so important. Why is it so difficult? Because it's going against the nature of the world. Because the whole nature of the entire world is constantly to fill what they are lacking. So our nature is always to take. To give is against the nature of the person. Whenever we go against the nature of the person, this is difficult. This is why it takes so much work and effort to maintain this. Now, with this we can understand. Actually, the Gemara brings an example. The Gemara says, "Kiven shenishtana, kiven shenitzrach odem labriyes nishtana ponav." When a man has to go out and ask for something for himself, it says the color of his face pales. Why? Because the radiance comes from the Tzelem Elokim, the image of Hashem. And that image of Hashem, which is part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that comes into his own, its own, when he's on that level of giving. When he's on the level of taking, well, then he's very far from the image of Hashem, because that's not possible by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, kiven shenitzrach odlem v'riyos, if a person, nebach, he has to come and ask for something from another person, you'll see his nishtan upon of his face is not the same. Because he's fallen now from that level of the Almighty which is in him, the Tzelem Elokim, that gave him the ability to be from those who give and not to take. Now we can understand why immediately Adam HaRishon, the first man, failed at this. Because this was right at the time when he ate from the tree. And what took place when he ate from the tree? That's when he fell from the... It says the Kodesh Baruch Hu said when he created man, he was almost like an angel. He was so close to the Almighty, he was almost like an angel. When he ate from the tree, then he fell. And since he fell to that level now, now he became a very strong taker. Giving was much more difficult. And to give back, and to give back an appreciation for what you receive, that's giving. That he was no longer capable of. He was capable, but that was far more difficult now. Therefore he said, it's not my fault, it's your fault. Isha Shenosati Modi. The woman which you gave to me, she gave me to eat. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I see now that you have fallen, that you can no longer be machzik tov, you're a kofri betova. And unfortunately, this is going to go in your children. And we see it happen by the Mabul, and we see it happen even by Klal Yisrael in the desert, with the Mon. Now this quality, and this is what Reb Shimon said. Reb Shimon came along and said, what is the road to life that is the most evil road? And stay away from it, and then you will be in the right direction. He says, that's someone who borrows and does not repay. This is one of many, many Averas. We're looking for a whole approach here. No, he says, this is a whole approach to life. The one who borrows and does not repay, that's the one who wants to take from the world. He's coming into the world and he thinks the world is here to take from. So he's going to be a taker. And even worse, he's even going to take from those who did good to him. People that gave him, he's going to take from them and not give back to him. And this will be his whole life. His whole life will always be taking and taking. And he will sink into the ground. He will be what the sages say in Amoritz. He is a person of the earth that is always taking and cannot give. Very far from the Tzelem Elokim. Leva Rosho Veina Mishalim. This is the Rosho that takes and doesn't repay. Mishalim Ro Tachas Tov. that someone does chesed in Hebrew, he pays it with evil. He says that's the worst thing in all of life, because that's a philosophy, that's an approach, that's a character. What does the rest of the pasuk say? The rest of the pasuk in Masechet Avos says, it says, "V'tzadik chaynein v'naysein." Who is the tzaddik? That is the one who gives. And it states chonein v'nosein. It's interesting. Nosein means to give. What does chonein mean? Chonein is from the word chanino, which means to give for no reason. See? Nosein means to give, but many times there's a calculated reason why you should give. Chonein means that you give to someone, even though he's not deserving. You still give him. Oh, that's the level of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. See, that's the tzaddik. So these are the two contrary principles. Now this principle, this quality that we said, Haksokas HaTov, we must realize that this is a chok. This is a statute which is enshrined in the Torah that cannot be changed. For example, we learned last week in Parshas Ki Tsetse, states as follows. Near the end of Ki Tsetse, Dvorim Chof Beis, Dvorim Chof Gimel, Posuk Ches. It states, Lo Tisahev, Lo Tisahev Mitzri. You shall not reject. You shall not reject and hate an Egyptian. How's it speaking? An Egyptian, the Egyptians were our arch enemies. They wanted to kill us. They enslaved us. This is what we just read about. They gave us Sora. Inui Vayanunu. Vayanu, I say. And they Vayavdu, and they enslaved us. They threw our children into the river. So they are our arch enemies. What happens if an Egyptian comes and he does tshuva? Egyptian comes and he repents. And he comes to Klal Yisrael and he says, I want to be like you. I want to become a Jew. So we ask him, are you prepared to accept Torah and mitzvah, 613 mitzvahs? He says, I'm prepared. He wants to be Magaya. So the halacha is, we must accept him. Now, there are certain nations, though, that the hatred and the revenge is so strong that even if they're Magaya, even if they convert, they're not allowed to marry into the central community of Klal Yisrael. By an Egyptian, the Torah said, Dor Shlishi, Bonim Asher Yevol Lehem Dor Shlishi. Once they convert, then the third generation, the grandson, the grandchild of that person, can marry into the central community of Klal Yisrael. This is what the Torah tells us. Now, why? So the Torah says, Kigero Yisha be'artsoi, because you were a stranger in their land and they took you in. So Rashi states as follows, Afal pishe zorku zecheireyem liyor, even though they threw your male children into the river. So what does he say? He's saying, Bedin hu, that really the yashrus, the logic and what is upright, is not to accept them, but to reject them forever. Like other and such nations, they should be rejected forever. This should be the mitzvah, because they try to destroy us. But matam shoyel lachem aksan yebeshasat chak. But nevertheless, when Yaakov came down and he didn't have what to eat in Canaan, and there was a famine throughout the world, Pharaoh told Yosef, let your family come and I'll give them Goshen, the best of Egypt, and there let them live royally. So what is the Torah telling us? That even though afterwards they became your arch enemies, and the Yosher pure logic dictates that you shall hate them forever and never allow them to marry into the central community, but that cannot be, because when you needed them, they accepted you and they gave you a nice place to live. Therefore the mitzvah has to be changed, and you have to allow them into the central community after the third generation. So what do we see? We see that there cannot be a mitzvah in the Torah that is based on the lack, on mishalim ro tachas tova, on doing evil to someone, even though he's deserving of the evil, if he once did good for you. Because it's a kofui teva. It's rejecting goodness that someone did to you. This is what we see. The Medrash tells us in Parsha Shemos, Medrash says, it states, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Moshe Rabbeinu by the snare, by the burning bush, and he told him that you must go to Egypt and you and Aaron must lead the people out of Egypt. There was a long dialogue between Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You will tell us, for 7 days by the bush, because Moshe didn't want to go. Finally, he accepted to go. So the Torah says he went back to Yisro. Before going, he went back to Yisro. What does it have to tell us he went back to Yisro? I mean, we know that he had to go there to pack up. He took his wife, he took his children, his child. Now, he went back to Yisro for a different reason. Medrash tells us in Parsha Daled, In Sefer Shmos, Parsha Dalid, Osh Beis, Ubishosh Omale HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'atol Lecho V'Ashlechecho El Paroi Omale Ribbeinu Ilam Eini Yochel. Moshe told Hashem, I cannot go, Mipnei Shekiblani Yisrael Posech Libeishoi, because Yisrael accepted me in when I needed a place, when I was running away from Egypt and I was a fugitive. So Yisro said, Kiren lai v'yechalochem. He told his daughters, call that man here, and we will give him what to eat. And he took me in. Vani imay keben, and I was am like a son to him. Umishu peiseh piska lachavera inafshich haivlai. And someone who opens his door to a person, you're obligated with your life to him. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Eini Heilech, I cannot go unless he will give me permission to go. See? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, alright, go back and ask him permission and then go. So that's what it states by Yoshev al Yisr Cheshnei, that Moshe returned to Yisro. Now, Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitzecher Tzadik Lebruch, he brings this in a shir of his. The shir is Maimel Lamed Beis of Yud Ches Sivan Tov Shin Lamed Beis. And he asked a good question. He says, what's Moshe saying he can't go for? You know what he was sent to go? He was sent to be Gael Yisrael. He was sent to be the Gael. That's like Kodesh Baruch Hu comes to a person and he says, you are the one who will be the Melech HaMashiach. Go! The person says, I can't go. He was sent to be Goel Kol Beis Yisrael, to redeem all of Yisrael. Hatzolis Kol Am, to save the whole nation. Can there be a greater mitzvah in the world than that? There was never such a great mitzvah as that. To redeem all Beis Yisrael. And what, for what purpose? To bring them to Har Sinai to receive the Torah. and then to bring them into Eretz Yisrael to conquer the land. So not only this is a great mitzvah, there has never been a greater mitzvah than this mitzvah. So, surely it takes priority over other things. That's firstly. Secondly, if you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not concerned with it, why are you concerned with it? Moshe turns around and says, it's a good mitzvah, but I can't go, because Yisro opened his door to me, and I owe him, and therefore, without his permission, I cannot go. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that also. If Hashem is not worried about that, so why are you worried about it? So the answer is what we said. This is what he writes. There can be no mitzvah in the Torah, not even the greatest mitzvah of the Torah, if it goes against that of Hachzokas HaTov, of appreciation. And this Moshe knew. He says that no matter what mitzvah it is, you cannot go and do a mitzvah and at the same time be a person that is unappreciative, lack of gratitude for a wonderful goodness that someone else did to you, or did for you. And therefore I cannot go. And this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're right. He said, this is what I had in mind to begin with. I didn't expect you to go without asking permission. Go back and ask permission. So here we see further that principle that the greatest mitzvahs in the Torah have to also travel within this framework. With this, he answers another kasha, another question. In Parshas Matos, Bamidbar Lamed Aleph Aleph, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, Mikom Niknas Bnei Yisrael Meis HaMidyonim. He says, go take revenge against the Midyonim. The Midyonim were the ones that sent their daughters in to Klal Yisrael in order to lead them astray. So Hashem said to Moshe, go take revenge. Go to war against them. Immediately afterwards, it states, "Vayishlach Esom Meisha." There's Pinchas ben Elozar HaKohen. Moshe sent the army. He organized, he mobilized an army, and he sent Pinchas ben Elozar HaKohen to lead them. The Yalkut, the Medrash Yalkut, asks a question. Hakadosh Baruch Hu imel Meisha v'hu shaleach acherim. Kodesh Baruch Hu told Moshe to go. So why is he sending someone else? The command was to Moshe. Elo, so the Yalkut answers, Al Yideshin is Gadol bin Midyan, Omar Eina Bidin Shani Meitzar, Lemi Sheosali Tova. Moshe grew up in Midyan, because Midyan is where Yisro was from. When Moshe ran away from Egypt as a fugitive, so he had a refuge, and he had a refuge and a place of safety in Midian. So Moshe said, I cannot go because it's not right that I should go to war against Midian, the nation that protected me. Therefore I'll send Pinchas. This is what the Medrash says. So again, Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz asks, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, he told you not to send someone else. So the answer is, Moshe understood that this is what Hashem meant. Hashem meant, he said, I'm telling you to go to war against them. I understand you cannot lead the army. So mobilize the army and send someone else to go and make war against them. Moshe understood that this was the meaning, the pshat, this was the meaning in the mitzvahs Hashem. Because the mitzvahs of Hashem cannot be where it's mishalim ro tachas tova, where it does evil to a person that did good. Then he says it could very likely be that Moshe learned this from the Makos in Mitzrayim. When Hashem executed the 10 plagues in Egypt, all of them were executed through Moshe. Egypt had to be smitten, and all of them were through Moshe. He is the one who struck Egypt, with the exception of the first three. The first three, Dam, the turning of the river to blood, and Sfadeya, and the frogs, and the Kinim, and bringing the lice out of the earth, this Hashem told Aaron. Now, Moshe learned from that. Why, if I was supposed to smite Egypt, and it was worthy of being smitten, so why did he tell Aaron on these three? So what did Moshe learn from that? Because the river once did goodness for Moshe. It saved him. When he was a child, he was placed in a basket, and the river protected him. And the earth also did goodness for Moshe, because when he killed the Egyptian, he buried him in the sand. Be'eino bedin, it is not right to be mishalim ro tachas tova, to give back evil for goodness. But the land still had to be smitten. So do it ayde Aaron. This is why Hashem told Aaron. This could be where Moshe learned that from. Again, we see this principle that cannot be moved. From here, incidentally, we see another principle. We can understand when it's a person, does a person or a nation does some good, then you cannot do evil. But here we're talking about inanimate objects. We're talking about the river, or we're talking about the earth. This is inanimate. They do not have feelings. So we see how far this meter, this quality goes. That even by something that's inanimate, if it served you well, do not smite it. Even though it's inanimate, makes no difference. No, don't kick it. You have something and it served you well, don't kick it. And this is what the maral means. The maral on that, Rashi, in Gurayi, he brings the Gemara, if I recall correctly, is in Baba Kama, that the Gemara says, he says, Lalam decho derech eretz. See, this is all inclusive in derech eretz. The Gemara says, Bira de shosis minei, al tish de bekala. A bor, a well that you once needed, and you drank water from it, even when you don't need it anymore, don't throw stones in it and don't fill it up. Don't harm it. Where do we learn that from? That you cannot learn from the fact that you're supposed to show gratitude to people? This is talking about water inanimate? He says, we learn it from here. So this is how far this goes. And actually, we find this also, Rashi brings at the end of Yisro, that we see that the Derech Eretz even extends to inanimate objects. The Torah says, at the end of Yisro, says when you build an altar of stone, do not cut it with a sword. So Rashi explains from the sages why. Because the altar was bringing peace between man and Hashem. And therefore, do not harm it with a sword that brings war. And then he says, then how much more so when a man brings peace between people, how much more so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect him? Or v'leisale b'mailis, that you shouldn't walk up the steps to the altar, to the mizbeach, to the altar, because that's considered bizoyin in a shameful manner. So there Rashi says, even though shein bodas lahakbid, it steps. They don't have any intelligence to know if they're being disgraced or not. And still the Torah says that since they are there for such a good purpose, you must be careful not to disgrace them. Then how much more so a person? And we see this even by animals. This is an additional source that Rav Chaim Shmulevitz brings. In Parshas, it's very interesting. In Parshas Vayeshev, on Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Yud Dalet, when Yosef's brothers went, and they went to take the sheep to graze, they went to Shechem. So Yisrael Yaakov said to Yosef his son, your brethren are shepherding the sheep in Shechem. Let me send you to them. Go see the peace of your brethren. And go see the peace of the sheep, Ashivene Dovra, and come back and let me know how everything is. So the Medrash says on that posuk in Parshas Vayeshev, Parsha Pei Dalet posuk Oshud Gimel, Eshlei Machecho Nicho. We can understand why he should go find out the peace of the brothers. But what does it mean, Eshlei Machein? The peace of the sheep. Hado Omar, from here we learn, She'odim tzorech litzol b'sholom, dovesh yesh b'hanom imenu. That a person has to ask of the peace of everything that he has benefit from. So just like he has to find out, how are the brothers doing? He has to find out also, how are the sheep doing? Because a person has anor, he has benefit from the sheep. Now, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz adds something there, though, another note. He says it's right next to each other. Here we're talking about the sons of Yaakov, which were the Shifkei Kor, they were the tribes of Hashem, and here you're talking about sheep. How do you lump them all in one sentence? But we see that Yaakov told his son Yosef. He says, "Seek the peace of your brethren and seek the peace of the sheep. You have benefit from something. You must show concern. You must show appreciation. Even if it's just an animal." If a person would recognize this, then you would have no problem like we have today of environment and ecology. That all comes because what we said in the beginning, because man is amoritz. He's a taker. He wants to swallow up. So he wants to swallow up the whole world. He wants to swallow up all of the resources. He wants to swallow up the whole environment. But if man would realize that his job in this world is not to be a taker, but is to rise to the level of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to give. And even when he has to take, he must give something in return. And if he can't give anything in return, at least he has to give a brocha or a thanks. Then there would be no problems. All of the discussions of ecology or environment would all be totally irrelevant and redundant. One final Gemara. This also Reb Chaim Shmulevitz brings. Brings a Gemara from Yevamos Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara says Reb Chiya have a kometzara le devisu. Reb Chiya, he had a wife that was not good to him, and she was always making trouble for him. Kavamishkach midi, tzayale besudre umaisinile. Nevertheless, when he would see something nice, he would wrap it up very nicely and he would bring it to her. One day Rav asked him, Hokum atzarele lamara. He says, I don't understand you. He says, your wife gives you so much sorrows and so much trouble. Why are you bringing gifts to her all the time? Omale. So he answered, he says, "Dayenu shemegadleis bonenu umatzileis osana minachet." He says, "It's sufficient that she brings up, a woman brings up our children, and saves us from chet, and saves us from sin. So on those two premises alone, she's deserving that I should bring her gifts. This is what he answered. So the Chaim says we see two things here. Firstly, we see the great obligation of appreciation. But he says we see something else also. He says, the Gemara says, how does a wife save a husband from sin? So the Gemara brings, there was once a great chosid, Gemara in Masechta Tainis, there was once a very, very righteous man. He was so righteous that the sages, there was a tremendous drought in the world, and the sages said, go to that person. If he will pray, rain will come. All the sages couldn't bring rain. Go to that one. So they sent a group to go to that person. And when they came to him, they were very surprised, because when they saw his wife, she was adorned and dressed in the ultimate of beauty and fashion. And they didn't figure that a person who, all the sages can bring rain and he can bring rain, they didn't figure that, you know, he would be so concerned with these things. He prayed and rain came. He and his wife. Later on they asked him, they said, can we ask you a question? Why is it that it wasn't a yantif, it was during the week. He says, why does your wife go like that? It was like from a magazine from Paris. So why does your wife go like that? So he said, "Shaleetein bi eino, einaim bi isha acheres," in order that I should not be tempted to look at another woman. See? If my wife is more beautiful than every other woman, so why should I look at other women? But if my wife doesn't take care of herself, and she goes around in shmatas, so then I'm going to be tempted to look at someone more beautiful. And the sages say, oh, see, this one. Now we know why he's such a great person. So the Gemara tells us, how does a woman save her husband from chet? By being in the height of beauty. So Reb Chaim says like this. He says, for a woman to be in the height of beauty, that's something which by nature she enjoys. She enjoys that. To bring up children, that's something that is tzoris and tzoris and tzoris. You have to give your life on bringing up children. The Gemara says, Sar Gidl Bonim, this is from the great punishments of Odom Arishon, that we have so much tzoris in bringing up children. So we can understand why you should appreciate her from the fact that she brings up your children. But from the fact that she saved us from chet, that's enjoyment to her. Still, they place it all in one level. So what do we see? That's her cheshbon, not your cheshbon. Your cheshbon is that you are receiving these great goodnesses, both of them, from her. Therefore, you have to be makateva, you have to appreciate it. And this is why Reb Chiya would always bring a gift to his wife. So we see from here the great principle of Hachzokas Teva, of giving gratitude and appreciation, and to the contrary, the great raw, the great evil of one who cannot show gratitude and appreciation, and certainly if he's Meshalim Rotachas Teva, if he does evil to someone that did good for him. And this principle is so enshrined in the Torah that even the mitzvahs of the Torah cannot go against this principle, like we see. But to the contrary, this is not an easy quality, because this works against the nature of man. Because this is the quality of giving. And even when you take to give back, while the simple nature of man is always to take. He is always lacking and he's always taking. And that's why Adam HaRishon immediately became a kofi b'teva. He became a person who lacked appreciation right after he ate the fruit and he fell. That's why this is so difficult. And therefore, it takes constant work and constant labor to come to this all-important but very great level.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.